Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Hour number two here are the Sports Junkies. Toby Altizer in for the Junks today, taking you up till 9 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to Denton Day. It's officially game week for the Commanders as they gear up for their week one matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday at 4:25. What are you most confident in? What are you least confident in for the Commanders going into the season? 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Let's start with the positives. Got a couple of things for each one. What are you most confident in? Number one for me, pretty plain and simple, pretty easy. Number 17, Terry McLaurin. Very confident in Terry going out there and producing. And I'm interested to see how they're going to use him and how teams are going to play him. You know, there are no true number two wide receivers alongside him. I like the Noah Brown signing a lot. He's still not a true number two. I think he's a heck of a football player. Maybe he can fill that role. Maybe I'm wrong. But I still don't view him as like a true number two style receiver. So you're going to have a lot of questions at that wide receiver position. But I think Terry McLaurin is going to come out and give you consistent performance. But how is that going to be? Is that going to be something where they have to manufacture ways to get him the ball? Because I'm praying. I'm just praying that Cliff Kingsbury is not foolish like the previous two offensive coordinators, that if number 17 is not touching the football, that they'll just continue to let that happen. Number 17 needs to touch the ball, and I've said this. I don't think it's going to happen. He's not necessarily that style of receiver. But could we just one time? I just test it out. Maybe even test it out in Tampa. Let's just see what happens if we gave Terry McLaurin, dare I say, 8 catches? 10 maybe? How about 12? We've seen other receivers do it. Why not Terry? And it doesn't have to be, okay, Terry, run a go route, post, go. Run him on a slant. Run him on a drag. Get the ball in his hands and let him do some work. We saw him already have some nice catches that he's able to turn into. You know, he catches the ball for 8 yards, turns it into 15 on a simple stop route. I think Jaden has a nice rapport with him. How's it going to transfer into the season? And how are defenses going to play him? Are they going to key exclusively on number 17, where they are saying they are not going to let Terry McLaurin beat them? Because I think that's a distinct possibility, where that's doubling him, maybe bracketing him, finding ways to make sure that Terry doesn't get off. Because do you trust the other weapons on this team? I think a lot of us here do. I think we trust what Zach Ertz is going to give you. I think we trust even some of the other receivers in Zacchaeus and some of these other guys. But do you, if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, are you game planning for those guys, or are you going to make sure Terry McLaurin doesn't get off? I would probably focus on 17. So I'm intrigued how opposing defenses are going to treat Terry McLaurin this year. The second thing I'm most confident in is that running back tandem in the backfield of Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. And I think that's going to be a big part of this offense this year. You know, if you want to go ahead and bracket Terry, you want to go ahead and double team Terry and try to find ways to take him out of the football game, okay, fine, I'll turn around and hand it to 8 and 30. I think those guys are going to be a huge part of what they do this season. And I don't know that we're talking enough about the role that Austin Ekeler is going to have as a pass catcher, because I think part of the reason that they feel confident enough, I don't think, you know, going forward, they're going to find a guy to be that number two guy alongside Terry. Whether that's in the draft next year, free agency, they're going to find someone. I think the reason they feel confident about where they're at this year and why they didn't, you know, seriously pursue an Ayuk trade is I think they feel good about their secondary options in conjunction with all of each other, that they can make up for it. And part of that is going to be the guys out of the backfield. I think Austin Ekeler as a pass catcher, combined with Zach Ertz, combined with Zacchaeus and Brown, can make up for not having a true number two. That's four guys. You know, we talked about Green Bay earlier. You ask them who their number one receiver is, they say, we don't have one. And it's interesting because you don't know who's going to be the guy featured that week. One week it could be Dobbs, one week it could be Jaden Reed, one week it's Christian Watson, one week it's Luke Musgrave at tight end. It's all over the place. I think that's how the number two option is going to be for Washington this year. Whether it's this week, we feel like we can exploit the tight end matchups, we're going to go to Zach Ertz more. We feel like we can get favorable matchups out of the backfield and even motioning him out to the slot with Austin Ekeler. Okay, we're going to go to Ekeler more. We're going to go more to Zacchaeus this week. We're still going to get Terry his touches. Like I said, we're most confident in him. We're going to find a way to make sure he gets at least, say, 5-6 touches a game. But when we get the other guys involved, it's going to be 3 and 4 touches for each of these guys. And so you don't know which one's going to get off that week. I think with Austin Ekeler, he's going to be a big part of the passing game, and I think that's why they feel confident about it. And, you know, I was kind of skeptical when they signed him because there was a play that I watched, and it's funny because the Twitter reaction was right, and I still felt good about what I said, but they were correct. He had a run against, I believe it was the Packers, where he got around the left edge, and he ran for like 15 yards. So a good run, but when you saw him break into the open field, it was like there was nothing more than third gear. It was just like, go, hit the gas, and he just couldn't. And I know he was dealing with some injuries last year, but it was like, man, maybe he has lost a step. Well, I think if he can get back to his healthy self, which, you know, he was talking on G&D, I believe, I forget what day last week, but he was talking with G&D last week, and he feels much better. He said he was playing on 1.5 ankles last year, so I'm assuming he feels a lot better this year. If that's the case and he can get a burst back, you know, maybe he is back to more of the Austin Ekeler you're accustomed to. Not the guy that is complete, not to say that he's going to be prime Austin Ekeler, but he looked a little bit washed at times last year. Maybe he's going to be more back to the guy that we saw a couple of seasons ago that was scoring lots of touchdowns. And if that's the case, then he can be a big part of the offense, especially in the passing game. And Brian Robinson is going to be a huge part of this offense. I feel like if they want to be the most successful this year, as much as I'm talking up their passing options, I think their best way to make things work is just being a running football team. Hand the ball off to Brian Robinson, let him go up the middle, and I think that you can get creative with it because it doesn't have to just be Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. It can be Jaden Daniels as well. And so I think there's going to be ways that they can use the read option and the various styles of offense where when you combine that with a running game that I think they're going to be committed to. I think that's the key is last year, one, they didn't run the ball at all, but when they did, they weren't committed to it. So it's an attitude when you try to run the football and not every run is going to go for 4, 5, 6, 7 yards. Some of them are going to go for nothing. Some of them are going to go backwards. But you have to commit to it. And I think Cliff Kingsbury gets a wrong and bad rap that, oh, he's an air raid guy. He's only going to throw the ball. No, he's going to run it. He's going to run the football. And my hope is, too, that if the run game's working, keep running it. Keep running it. If you're able to dominate in the trenches that way, there's some questions still about the O-line. If you're able to dominate in the trenches, just keep running it and lean on that. So I think that running back tandem, to me, is something I'm really confident in. I'm confident in Terry, and I'm confident in B-Rob and Austin Ekeler. The third thing I'm most confident in, there's a lot of questions I have on defense, and we're going to get to some of that next here. But overall, I'm very confident that the effort and intensity on that defensive side of the ball is going to be so much higher than it was last year. You're going to see guys flying around the football field. You're going to see guys flying to the football. How often did it feel like last year that maybe it wasn't as much lack of effort as lack of intensity? How often did it feel like you didn't see guys swarming to the football and weren't bringing that intensity that you need to be an effective defense? It just felt all too often you didn't see that. And I think with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., I think they're... That's what they're going to preach, is they're going to, you know, they talk about a run and hit style of defense, and Joe Witt Jr. makes you want to run through a wall every time he talks. So I think that unit is going to be just so much more motivated, and I think the scheme that they're going to play is so much more aggressive that it's, in turn, it's going to make the players play a little faster and a little more intense. I think they're going to try and force the issue more so than kind of, let's hold back. You know, at times it felt like with the Jack Del Rio scheme that it was more so like, we're not going to let the big play happen, even though it did all too often because the secondary had miscommunication. But it was more so, we're going to play passive football. We'll really lock in the red zone, but we're going to kind of make sure that you don't kill us down the field. And that's how a lot of modern defenses play, to be fair. So it's not just a Jack Del Rio thing, but it was more so, okay, we're gonna chill out a little bit. I don't think that's going to be Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. Now, we'll see if it works. I think that's something they're going to have to experiment with in the first couple weeks of the season. You can play aggressively in Dallas when you've got Micah Parsons and you've got Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland and some of those guys. Can you do it with some of the guys they have? We'll see. But I think they're going to bring an intensity and an effort that we didn't see defensively the last couple of years. Because other thing, too, is they've weeded out some guys. They've made sure that the guys that they want are out there. And they're not afraid to pull a guy off the field if he's not giving the appropriate effort. Like if a guy's getting torched or a guy's not, you know, pursuing the ball and doing exactly what they want, you've already seen with Peters that he's not afraid to trade away a guy like Jahan Dotson. I think that goes with Dan Quinn and the guys as well, that if just because you've got a big name doesn't mean they're not going to be able to pull you off the field because you're not doing what you should be doing. So I think the defensive intensity and effort is going to be much better. Now, some things that I'm least confident in. Number one, and I talked about this a little bit already, the wide receivers behind Terry. I'm very confident in Terry McLaurin. The rest of the group, you might feel good because of what we've been talking about and the ways that they're going to be able to use them, but I don't know how you could go into a season where your true number two wide receiver is Noah Brown, who just got here last week. Your de facto number two until Noah Brown gets up to speed is Olamide Zaccheaus. De'Ami Brown fits in there somewhere. How can you feel real confident about that? I just don't. And I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope these guys go out there and ball out. And there are teams with worse receiving corps because they don't have a Terry McLaurin. I look at the New England Patriots as one. There are teams that have worse receiving corps. But when you get behind Terry, slim pickings. It's just, I'm not real confident. I think they can get it done, but that's more so a hope than a guarantee. and I don't like that. I've talked about this with a rookie quarterback. Well, and we'll throw this out there too. The other thing I'm least confident in is the offensive line. It's another thing where I hope, I think, I'm not sure. And I don't feel good because part of the reason that, you know, when you draft a rookie quarterback, a couple of things that I talked about is when you look at the weapons and you look at the offensive line, I don't want to be questioning. I want to have sure things at those spots and feel good. And I don't at either one of those spots. I think they could do a good job there. And I think that the pieces they have in place are going to be able to work together, that they're going to be better than they were last year in the offensive line room. I don't know about the wide receiver core, because I think losing Jahan Dotson is obviously big, but also losing Curtis Samuel is going to be big. So I don't know about that. But the offensive line, Cliff's going to help out. Jaden's going to help out. There are ways that they can get around, you know, having as bad an offensive line as they had last year. But it doesn't make me feel great that you've got a rookie quarterback stepping in. And two of the things that I'm least confident in are his protection and his weapons. Those are the things that I wish they could have upgraded, specifically the offensive line. And I think that Coleman could be a solid left tackle. We haven't seen him. So how can you feel confident about a rookie that's not a first-round rookie, but he hadn't played yet? So I like what we've seen in camp. Is that going to translate to the game field? Again, I hope. I think. I'm not sure. Left guard. I hope Allegretti's fine. I think he could be okay. I'm not sure. The only two sure things on this offensive line are center at Biadasz and right guard with Cosmi. 40% of your offensive line you're sure about. The other 60% is maybe, I hope, I think. So I'm not incredibly confident about that. The other thing that I'm not very confident in, this is where I think it's going to be interesting defensively. I think that their effort and intensity, like I said, is going to be really good. I think that they're going to be play a more aggressive style, and I think it's going to be much better for this unit that they're going to play that way. The thing that worries me, I'm very, very worried about their pass coverage defensively. Because when you think about what they're going to do up front, I think they're going to find ways to run some of these simulated pressures, which are the new in vogue thing of bringing four from different areas and dropping a guy here and find. They'll do some of that. They're going to bring five. They're going to bring six. Do they have the corners that can make it work? Do they have the guys on the secondary that can make it work? I don't have as much of a confidence issue with their communication because I think that's going to be better. I think they've preached that. I think that this is a much better coached defense now than it was last year. So I'm not as worried about coverage busts where, you know, you've got just a dude that's not in his assigned spot and you have Cooper Kupp on the screen catching a football with no one around him in burgundy and gold. I don't see that happening as much where it's just a coverage bust. Could I see coverage breakdowns, though, where guys just get beat or they're bringing a blitz and they're not able to get home and in turn a receiver is able to get to a bigger hole in an open spot? I think you could see a lot of that. I really do. I think you could see a lot of aggressive style defense, and this is where I think that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are going to have to work together on this. I think that early on in the season, they're going to run a lot of stuff that is aggressive. They're going to blitz. They're going to get after the quarterback. And generally that helps out a secondary, unless the secondary just absolutely sucks and they just get beat right away. I think that could happen. I think that could happen. And so I think they're going to have to find a way to get pressure without compromising some of those guys in the secondary and putting them in bad spots. Whether that's Forbes, I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm not talking about Forbes. I'm not talking about BSJ. I'm talking about the whole unit. I'm just not very confident in that secondary and the pass coverage. Because even a guy like a Jeremy Chinn, who I think is going to be a really nice piece, he's not known for his pass coverage. You think about the linebackers, like Bobby Wagner, he's going to be big for this team. Bobby Wagner is not the same in pass coverage now as he was 6-7 years ago. Frankie Louvu, he's not a pass coverage guy. So I'm a little worried about their pass coverage because I'm not thrilled with their cornerback room. I think their safeties are good, but I'm not thrilled with their cornerback room. And I just think when you're going to play an aggressive style of defense, while that will help the corners in some instances, it could also be a hindrance if the corners just can't do their jobs. It's not because they're going to break down or be bad at what they're being asked. They're going to be out of position. Sometimes they're just going to be better. The other team is just going to be better. And I think that's going to be a case a lot of times with the pass coverage. So I think they're going to have to adjust as the season goes on. That's some things that I'm confident in, least confident in. What say you? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. It's the Sports Junkies. Toby Altizer in for the guys here on Labor Day at 106.7 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for the guys today. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Sports Grumpy's tweeted at me a couple of times today. He said he's confident that We have a real owner, GM, and coaching staff that he trusts with a promising young quarterback in the future of the team. I agree with that. He also said that we sound like the anxiety junkies this morning. So I want to clarify something here, too. The things that I'm least confident in, specifically with the offensive side of the ball, when you look at the wide receivers and the O-line, as much as I'm not confident in them, I'm not worried as much about them. Because I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we haven't seen him play a meaningful snap yet. But I think they found their guy at quarterback.
Man, I think JD, I'm going to say it right now. I think JD 5 is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really good. And so, although I say I'm least confident in them, I'm not like, when I made this list, so I was doing some prep last night, like when I was making this list, when I say I'm least confident in these guys, it wasn't something where I was like, I'm panicking about any of these things on the offensive side of the ball. I'm not particularly worried about anything offensively, honestly, because I trust that they're going to be able to have a play caller who isn't stuck in his ways and is able to adapt. And I think the quarterback that they have is special. I think he is. Now, we'll see how it translates early on in his NFL career, but as it continues to go on, I think you saw glimpses throughout the preseason that I think he can be really, really special. And it's something where the ball comes out quick, the ball comes out on time, the ball is accurate.
And smooth.
Very smooth, and they haven't shown anything yet. They haven't. I think the thing that excites me about the offense is when you look at what they ran in preseason, they didn't show a whole lot, but they showed a couple of things where I think that they could get by because I think that Jaden is an advanced enough passer, which I was surprised by. But I think they could get by with running a traditional drop back pass game that you would see Jared Goff run, that you would see Peyton Manning run, that you would see Tom Brady sort of run. Not saying he's those guys, but I think they could get by with running a style of offense where he just has to play from the pocket. That's obviously not going to be the case, but I think they could get by with that. But when you add in the fact that he's already good enough at that, in my opinion, that they could do that, and you can roll the pocket, you can move the pocket, you can run RPOs, you can run read option stuff, I think you can have a very multiple style offense from week to week. You know, there were a couple of read option sort of plays where I think this is going to help their run game a lot as well with B-Rob and Eckler, where if that end's going to keep crashing down, go ahead. Keep crashing down. Because Jaden's going to run for 40 up the sideline. Like, go ahead. And it's going to hold that edge rusher for just a second more. And you're going to get one less guy coming in to make the tackle on B-Rob and Eckler coming up the middle. Or if they want to crash down, like I said, Jaden's around the edge. And I think there was a play, I'm not 100% sure this was an RPO, but it sure looked like one, where there was the throw to John Bates and his final action, where it was either a play action or an RPO, where he throws it right down the middle to John Bates. I think an RPO game is going to be a big part of what they do. You've seen this become a huge part of college offenses. You've seen it become a big part of NFL offenses, where it's just so simple for the quarterback to read. They're watching one guy. They're watching a linebacker, a safety, a corner. They're watching a defensive end. They're watching one specific guy. If that guy takes a step forward, slant in behind. Or something similar, like a seam to the tight end. Whatever it may be. And I think they're going to run a lot of that because I think Jaden's good at that stuff. And the delivery is effortless. The accuracy is great. And so when you talk about this offense, I know it sounds like I'm really worried about all these things. I'm not incredibly confident in the O-line. I'm not incredibly confident in the wide receivers behind them, behind Terry. But I'm not worried because I think Jaden can overcome all of it. And maybe it's naive, maybe it's Ashburn syndrome, I don't know. But to me, I feel fine with where they're at because I think Jaden is that special. I think Jaden is going to be able to overcome a lot of these shortcomings and make for a team that's going to be maybe even better than they should be because he's going to overcome what is a pretty pedestrian offense on paper. On paper, this offense is not very good, right? I mean, you've got solid running backs, your tight end, even though, I mean, let's be real. What have you seen out of Zach Ertz the last couple of years? Like, if we were in Philadelphia or we're in New York or we're in Dallas and we're talking about Washington's offense, how do you feel about those weapons, right? I mean, they're like, oh, Zach Ertz is their top tight end? Okay, fine. You know, like, Philly might talk with a little reverence. The rest, not so much. They're going to look at the running backs and say, okay, you have to respect B-Rob and Eckler. They're going to talk about Terry and say, okay, you got to respect Terry. Oh, Noah Brown's their number two? Zacchaeus? They're not going to be worried about it. But what they don't know is that Jaden, as a rookie, looks like he could overcome all of that. So I'm really intrigued by what he's going to be able to do as a rookie because I think he's going to be that special of a player. So I'm personally not all that worried. I'm curious, Max, do you have a couple of things you want to add to this list? Things that you're most confident in or least confident in?
Confident in JD5. Least confident, I think we're going to get gashed on the outside all year. I think edge setting is going to be an issue for this line.
Really?
I hope
you're not confident in the edge rushers?
I'm
setting the edge.
Well, it's just the edge and beyond, because once you get outside, I don't think our corners are going to be able to step up and make a tackle and make a play, you know, to keep the drive alive or at least keep them inside the sticks. But we just haven't seen a lot of our edge rushers that we got in this offseason. So it's something it's an unknown to me, I feel like.
Here's where I feel like it's an interesting point you bring up, because it felt like with Jack Del Rio, and you had some talented edge rushers in Chase and Montez. It obviously didn't necessarily work out to the fullest of potentials, but they were talented players. They didn't play incredibly disciplined. They did not. Just the way that they rushed, the way that they played the run at times, it just was not very disciplined. I think you're going to see a disciplined front.
I'm hoping.
And I think it's big because, you know, I know some of these guys were first-round picks, like a Farrell and a Fowler. I know those were first-round picks, but we've seen that they're not, you know, they're not game-breaking type players that you would expect in first-round edge rushers.
Right.
So I think they understand, though, that they're not as talented to get away with just playing rogue. They can't. I think they're going to play disciplined football. Dorrance Armstrong comes over with the guys from Dallas. I've always been impressed with him. He's not someone that's flashy, but he does his job. And I think the edge rushers are going to understand, too, that like they're going to get opportunities one-on-one because Daron Payne and John Allen are going to get the attention. Those are the guys that are going to get the attention. And I think the nice part about this defense is you've got a lot of guys who are into the team. And I think they don't necessarily care who makes the play. It's about doing your job, your responsibility. If you're just setting the edge, that play, set the edge. Don't be the guy trying to be the hero and get the sack and open up a hole. And that's what we saw all the time with Sweat and specifically Chase. And
often,
so
yeah.
I'm intrigued by what they're going to be able to do. I'm not actually worried about that because I think that they're going to play disciplined football because Farrell has had to make a career now as kind of a journeyman sort of guy. Fowler, similar sort of thing. And Fowler is going to be more so a pass rush specialist. But I think those edge rushers, while they're not going to be world beaters, I think having an upgrade over what you had at the second half of last year, which essentially was KJ Henry and
it's definitely a bunch of misfits,
I think they're going to be able to do a lot. And I think they're going to find ways too, where this is where it's going to be fun defensively. As much as I don't necessarily trust the back half being able to do their job in pass coverage, I think up front you're going to be able to have some fun because you blitz a linebacker here to create a one-on-one for John Allen. You bring a guy down here so Daron Payne's one-on-one with his guy. And when you got John Allen and Daron Payne, and this too is another thing. You notice in my most confident, I didn't put John Allen and Daron Payne. They should be on this list. They absolutely should be. But they're not because they haven't always dominated in the actual regular season. They should. We see them do it all the time in Ashburn. I don't know if that speaks worse about their O-line in Ashburn, in the Commanders, or not. But we've seen them dominate games. But they don't do it consistently enough. They don't have an excuse anymore. Before it was, oh, the scheme this, that. I don't know. I think they're going to try to put them in opportunities, You need 93 and 94 to bring it every single Sunday to the point that, you know, we've talked about the four first-rounders across the D-line for forever. And it got sick of it because we didn't see enough domination. We never saw elite dominant stretches from some of those guys. We've seen dominant stretches before from a John Allen and a Daron Payne. We need to see it week in, week out from those guys. And both of them, if you can put it together where both of those guys are going out there and dominating, that's how you can end up with a really good defense. Because if all of a sudden you're getting pressure up the middle from John Allen and Daron Payne because they're bringing it every single week, and you got Dorrance Armstrong doing his thing on one edge, and you got Farrell and Fowler doing their thing on the other edge, and you've got Luvu blitzing up the A-gap, and you've got Chin walk down, you got Sandra still coming off the edge one time. You can do so many different things, and it's all going to start with those defensive tackles. That's going to be the middle there. They're going to have to be elite at what they're doing, whether it's stopping the run. Because that's the other part of the modern NFL. Defensive tackles are starting to get in vogue again where they're paying them. You want to know why? You need to be able to play nickel and still stop the run. Because the pass game is so prevalent, but you've still got to be able to stop the run while being in a pass defense. And that comes down to having really good defensive tackles. On paper, the Commanders should have one of the best defensive tackle tandems in the league. Have they played like that the last couple of years? I don't know that they have. They've played like it at times. Have they played like it consistently enough? I don't think so. So I think a big part of this season is going to come down to those two guys. And to me, they've got the talent. It's just, are they going to show up and do it? I think Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. are going to make those guys do it, but there's also a reason you haven't seen me put them on the list here. I'm not the most confident because we haven't seen it enough out of them. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little Nationals, and then we'll get back into the Commanders coming up at 8 o'clock, but I want to talk about Dylan Crews and James Wood. We saw a full week now of Dylan Crews. How special can that duo be? We'll talk about it next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. It's the Junkies here on 106.7 The Fan. They got the day off today on Labor Day. Toby Altizer filling in for the guys. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. We're going to talk Nationals here in just a second, but let's get out to the phone lines here. Let's bring in Paul in Rockville to talk about the Commanders. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, Paul?
Everything good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think Cliff Kingsbury, he's kind of mimicking their offense to what he had in Arizona. And if you recall, years ago, 4 years ago, Kyler Murray's second year, I mean, the Commanders got a lot to look forward to, but he has to have that second receiver.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Cardinals started 9-1 that year, and they had a really good offense.
Yeah, that's where
and
I'm intrigued.
Brian Robbins.
They didn't really make adjustments throughout the year. And so they started really well, and then it kind of faltered as teams kind of adjusted. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they brought up that this is really Cliff's first chance as strictly an OC in the NFL. Uh-huh. And so I'm hoping that for him, yeah, they can get off to a great start, but it's how does he adjust throughout the year as teams start to kind of figure out what he's trying to do. That didn't necessarily happen in Arizona, but he was also the head coach of the football team. Maybe take some of those responsibilities off as he's now just the OC. Does he adjust throughout the year to the point that it's not just a first half boon and then kind of falling apart in the second half like it became in Arizona?
Yeah, I agree with that. He's got that reputation. But I swear it was when DeAndre Hopkins got hurt or suspended, one or the other.
Sure.
The wheels fell off. They didn't have anybody else to throw the ball to.
100%. Paul, appreciate the phone call, man.
Okay, man, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Yeah, I think that's a good point with Kingsbury. You know, he's had some good offenses. I was skeptical of the hiring. I've come around on it now for a myriad of reasons. But I think for him, if he can get off to a good start, that'll be nice. But it's about can he continue that start? Can he continue, you know, playing well with his guys? Because we've seen it before where he's had not just like a short stretch, but an extended stretch for like half a season where he's been really good. And then it kind of falls apart and the wheels come off. Can he continue to have it throughout a whole season? You know, maybe it's a little bit wrong of an expectation to think that they're going to have, you know, a great start offensively like he had in Arizona. because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins at that time is better than what Terry is. I love Terry, but DeAndre Hopkins is an all-time great with, like, some of the stuff that he was doing. But regardless, I think that you could see good stretches, but how does he continue to evolve as the year goes on? I think that's going to be important. We'll get back into the Commanders coming up at 8 o'clock. I want to talk about what defines a successful season. But real quickly on the Nationals, over the weekend we saw them fall 3 in a row to the Cubs. It was a little bit disappointing, but just watching them this past week, I get this feeling the Nationals have something special. They have something special now. And they haven't had that something special since really 2019. Because even when they had Soto and he was left, and some of the other, they lacked it. It didn't feel like it. For whatever reason, guys were struggling. You remember Soto when he was still here, he was kind of struggling that first half. It feels special with Cruz and with Wood, similar to what you used to feel with some Nationals teams, whether it was Rendon, whether it was Harper, whether it was Soto, those sorts of guys. I don't know if you agree or not, but that's where I feel. It feels special. So through six games so far for Dylan Cruz, 6-25, he's had two doubles and two homers, three runs batted in. He's been really impressive to watch, and he's someone that's at the minor league level, never really dominated, never really put up gaudy numbers like you saw with James Wood, where, you know, James Wood would have stretches where it seemed like he homered every single day of a week or something like that, where he was just absolutely scorching hot. You never really saw that from Dylan Cruz, but you saw a steady Eddie every single level. A ball, double A, triple A, kind of the same guy each and every stop. And for a week, he's looked like the same guy at the big league level. And that's an 800, 820, maybe down to a 780 OPS guy. But he gives you a little bit of everything. He can hit for average, and I think he's going to hit for a much higher average than a 240 sort of average. I think he's going to sit probably in that 270, 280 range. He can hit for some power. You've already seen him hit two home runs in his first week in the bigs. I don't necessarily think he's a, you know, 30, 40 homer guy, but I think 2025. So he's going to hit some home runs. He's going to steal some bags. We've seen him steal, you know, his first steal was a steal of third. So that's pretty obvious that he's got some wheels if he's stealing third in his first ever steal attempt. And you saw him in the outfield. He can cover ground in right field. He's a center fielder. There's no doubt about it. He can play center field. Now, we've had this discussion about whether Jacob Young should stay in center field and, you know, you leave Dylan Cruz in right field. I don't need to have that again. But his ability to track the ball in the outfield is tremendous. So he's a true center field style of player that's playing right field right now. You've seen him, I think it was in the Yankees series, track a ball into the foul territory that's, you know, it looked like a center fielder being able to cover the ground that he did as easily as he did to make the catch look easy. And then you saw him throw someone out at the plate. And he's thrown a couple of balls in from the outfield already this week at 90, 95 plus. So he's got a cannon of an arm. He's a five-tool player. The question is, on the 2080 scale for, you know, grading for scouting for baseball, is he a 50 at every tool? Is he a 55? Is he a 60 at every tool? I think some areas he's probably a 60. I don't know that the power reaches up to a 60, but I think his hit tool is a 60, somewhere around there, 55, 60 from what we've seen. I think his power is probably more so around that 50 range. His speed, I think, could honestly be up to a 65, 70, his ability to run. I don't think we talk about that enough. And his ability in the outfield, I think, could maybe be 60, maybe even 65 for some of those traits. So he's a fantastic ball player. And I think the thing that he brings to this team that none of the other young guys really do is a swagger and a vocal leadership. You think about James Wood, who we're going to talk about in just a sec. You think about C.J. Abrams, some of those other guys in the clubhouse, they don't necessarily bring a vocal leadership. I think Dylan Cruz brings that, and I think he brings that swagger, and the modern word is aura. I think he brings that to the Nationals, similar to how it used to be with Bryce and with Soto. Just there was just a different feel when those guys were on the field, and it permeates into the dugout and into the clubhouse. I think that's how it is with Dylan Cruz. And speaking of James Wood, when you combine those two, I think James Wood is the better baseball player overall, at least the better hitter. But I think when you combine the leadership, the skills, the all-around type of player that Dylan Cruz is with the slugging power and just the all-around ability of being a pure hitter that I think you've seen so far from James Wood, I think you've got something cooking in D.C. I think you have an MVP type of bat with James Wood to go along with one of the better leaders potentially down the line in all of Major League Baseball and Dylan Cruz, on top of being a fantastic all-star caliber player. And so I think they've got something cooking with those two that you can get real excited about if you're a Nats fan. And so when you look at that duo, I mean, would it shock anybody if, you know, if this team is in a World Series? Maybe it would shock people if this team got back to a World Series. But if, say, in 5, 6, 7 years, if this team is going to a World Series, I don't think it would shock anybody if Dylan Cruz and James Wood were the leading forces of a World Series sort of run. I don't think it would, because I think those guys are going to be that special, and they're rookies. I think it showed the other night that there's a big spot, and Dylan Cruz ended up striking out to end the game. But I think it shows that in those spots, the two people you most want up at the plate right now to win a ball game in the ninth inning are James Wood and Dylan Cruz in that order. I think that speaks to the rest of the team a little bit, but it also speaks to how good these rookies are. They're special. They are special. And I think there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Nats fan. It is game week for the Commanders, though. Let's get back into the Washington Commanders. What will define a successful season? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. I'm in for the Junks today, taking you up till 9 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to Denton Day here on The Fan.